to work them together. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about what our culture says about who we are and what gives us our sense of worth. So today we're talking a bit about identity and in particular our sense of worth. What gives us value? This is rather apt since it is Mother's Day today, and being a mother or a father, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a sister or a brother, it's all part of who we are. It gives us a measure of self-worth, but is it the whole story? Is there more to who we are? So before we talk about what self-worth is, I just want to say a little bit about where we get our sense of self-worth from. So who tells us what we're worth and how we are valued? Because somebody has to. We can't tell ourselves. We can try, but it doesn't often work. Well, there are two places that we can go. The first, which I will be helping us to think about, is culture. And the second, which Paul will talk about in the short while, is the Bible. When I use the word culture this morning, I'm meaning modern Western culture. In other terms, we could think about the word society, so as Māori or Pacific or Pākehā, Indian or Japanese. We all have subcultures with certain customs and values that can be distinctive to that culture. But living in New Zealand, in 2017, we are all exposed to and influenced by a broader and more prevailing culture, which is modern Western culture. This is the culture which we're talking about when we look at Frozen and when we look at modern day movie characters, which we're going to in a minute. So culture or society is telling us who we are and why we're valued. So how does it do this? It tells us in all sorts of different ways, through music, movies, advertising, billboards, the media, fashion. We're bombarded every day with culture telling us who we should be and what gives us our worth or value. So let's take a look at some examples. I have a clip that we can play before the PowerPoint.
No glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to receive. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
Found that incredibly hard not to burst into song. Yeah, okay, I'm not on my own this morning, that's great, because I was kind of like, yeah, I just really wanted to sing, but I just thought I'd spare all of you from that this morning and stay on topic. Okay, I'm staying on topic. So what kind of words is she saying in that song? Anybody want to bring some of the lyrics? Yeah? She's kind of saying, don't hold it back. You've got to let go of what's inside. Don't be the good girl that they always wanted you to be. Don't care what they say. Be who you want to be. So now we're going to look at my PowerPoint. Okay. We're going to have a look at some modern day heroes and heroines. Can anybody tell me who this lovely lass is? Olivia. This is Katniss Everdeen. She's from The Hunger Games. She is fierce. She's pretty cool. Okay. Who's this guy? Can I please have a lad to put his hand up? We're putting our hands up this morning, okay? Ian. Thor. Yeah. He's a pretty big hero, isn't he? With that hammer thing. All right, next one. Who's this cutie? Okay. Hermione Granger. A personal hero of mine. Next one. This guy. Okay, at the back, the very back. Can you shout out for me? Iron Man. Yeah, he's so cool with his suit and stuff. This lady. Yes. Princess Fiona. This guy. I'm throwing it back for some of you guys. Can anyone tell me who this is? I mean, I know it says his name, but I kind of told you who he was. It's Indiana Jones. He's a hero of his time, for those of you who don't know. Okay, so what do all these people have in common? What are some of their common characteristics and traits? And I'd love it if you could talk nicely to the person next to you about these things. Come talk to me. What do they have in common? You don't know. Okay. This sounds like some really healthy conversation. I'm really impressed. I guess that means that you're all comfortable with reporting back to the teacher at the front. Can anyone put their hand up and give me an example of something that all of those have in common? Yes, Jackie. They're not real? Okay. Okay, kind of not what I'm going for, but still true. Still true. Anyone want to give me a common characteristic or trait? Joe. Yes, brave and fearless. Anyone add to that? Yes. All fantasy characters? Yes, still true. Miriam? They're all ambitious. Yes. Anyone else? Caleb?
They're persistent.
Persistent. Yeah. Wayne?
They like to work alone.
Like to work alone. Yeah.
Act independent.
Independent and acting individually. Yeah. Does anyone want to add anything else? No? Okay. So some of the things that these guys have in common, like you said, they're independent, strong-willed, ambitious, and single-minded. So yeah, they do work alone. These are the very things that modern culture tells us we should aspire to, the very things that give us value and worth. The modern-day heroic narrative is self-assertion. In other words, you need to look inside yourself and decide for yourself who you are and what your dreams are, and then you and you alone have to get out there and achieve them and don't let anybody stop you. Now, we've just looked at one movie, but as I said before, this is communicated in all sorts of ways. Is there anything wrong with this? Is it wrong to be ambitious? Is it wrong to be independent and follow your dreams? Well, no. But when they become the very thing that define us, that causes us to feel that we have self-worth or not, then I think that we're heading for trouble. This modern-day heroic narrative doesn't work for many reasons, but let me just tell you one way it doesn't work. An identity that is achieved and not received is crushing. So an identity that is achieved and not received is crushing. Our culture not only tells us that we must look inside ourselves and discover for ourselves who we are, but it tells us that you and only you can achieve it. And frankly, it tells us if you don't achieve it, then you're a failure. So what is the alternative to this? Where else can we look to find our sense of worth? What or who can tell us what we're truly worth? And then I think this is Paul's cue to come up. So thanks for having me.
Are you off? She's out of here. Could I invite up Michael and Olivia, our two readers for this morning, please? We have two readings to share, a gospel reading and a New Testament reading. So we're going to have our gospel reading first, and then I just need to introduce something briefly before we have our reading from Romans. So we can have the John reading first, please, and then the Romans after that.
The first reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, and verses 14 to 18.
And can we stand for this reading, please?
Jesus said, "I tell you for certain that only thieves and robbers climb over the fence instead of going in through the gate to the sheep pen. But the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and he goes in through it. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. He calls each of them by name and leads them out. When he has led out all of his sheep, he walks in front of them, and they follow, because they know his voice. The sheep will not follow strangers. They don't recognize a stranger's voice, and they run away. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I give up my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them together too when they hear my voice. Then there will be one flock of sheep and one shepherd. The Father loves me because I give up my life so that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life from me. I give it up willingly. I have the power to give it up and the power to receive it back again, just as my Father commanded me to do."
This is the gospel of Christ.
Christ.
And before Olivia does her reading, I just need to prepare you guys, because this is going to be a bit of an interactive reading. So, Mark, if you'd like to sit down, that'd be great. Thank you so much for that reading. This is a reading. You can keep standing. Sorry, you don't get to sit down yet. Hang on. So this reading is from Romans chapter 12, and it's a list of qualities, of characteristics that that Paul is talking about in that should identify us as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And so I'm going to give each of the four sections, because we have 1, 2, 3, 4 sections, two of these qualities to listen out for. And when you hear Olivia read them, you've got an action to do. It's a very simple action. I won't embarrass you, honestly. So the first group over here, you're listening out for taking care of God's needy people and welcoming strangers. So strangers is your cue, okay? And all you need to do is extend a hand to the person next to you. Can you do that? Go for it. Extend a hand to the person next to you. Wonderful. And your cue is strangers, okay? Your second one is be friendly with everyone, okay? And for that, we just do a thumbs up and a smile, okay? So strangers and being friendly with everyone, those are your two. Over here, yours are be patient in times of trouble and never stop praying. And for that, you're just going to put your hands together in a praying hands gesture. Can you do that? So your cue is praying. And your second one is do your best to live at peace with everyone. Do your best to live at peace with everyone. And for that one, you're just going to shake the hand of the person next to you. Okay? Can you just do that now? Just shake the person's hand. The hand of the person, sorry, next to you. Wonderful. Okay, over here, this section over here, you're listening out for two. Your first one is, never give up, eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. So never give up is your cue, and your action is just a walking motion. Never give up, okay? And your second one is, don't be proud and feel you are smarter than others. And that is, you've got to stick your nose in the air. Okay? So don't be proud and think you're smarter than others. All right? Those are your two. And finally, last but not least, your two are love each other as brothers and sisters. And so you're just going to make a heart shape like this. So love each other like brothers and sisters. And your second one is when others are happy, be happy. When others are sad, be sad with them. Okay, and that's just simply happy, sad. Okay, can you do that? Perfect, it's a lovely happy face. Thank you very much. All right, so please remain standing and be ready for your cues as Olivia reads our New Testament reading from Romans. Thanks, Olivia.
The New Testament reading comes from Romans 12, starting at verse 9. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters and honour others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in times of troubles and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. Ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask him to bless them and not to curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. And when they are sad, be sad. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone. Thank you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you, Olivia. Please take a seat. I put the Bible on the floor. Is that allowed? It's just not right, isn't it? It's like when you use a Bible to prop something up. It's just not a good way of using a Bible, is it? We all do it. Okay. So Becky, in the first part, just talked briefly around how our modern culture tells us who we should be and the kind of things that give us value and worth. In the second part, I just want to talk a bit about what the alternative is to that. What kind of story does the Bible offer about who we are and what makes us of worth and value? Before I do that, hopefully my PowerPoint will be up very shortly. Oh, fabulous. What Becky and I are sharing today has been inspired mostly by these two YouTube clips that you can find by a guy called Timothy Keller. So if you were just to YouTube these headings, you'd find them. And I just encourage you to go away perhaps from today if you want to find out more about this and dig a bit deeper. These are two really good sources to go to. Timothy Keller is an American pastor. He's an apologist. He's a theologian. And it's really interesting stuff. So what does the Bible say about our identity, about who we are? Well, as Becky said earlier, our modern culture, the story it tells us, this heroic narrative, is this idea of self-assertion. That you have to look inside yourself, figure out who you are, and then you've got to go out there and do it. And only you can do it, and don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody tell you any different. That's kind of the modern heroic narrative. These are the kind of things that our culture values, the kind of things that it tells us to aspire to. But what does the Bible say about this? Well, actually, it tells us not just something different, but something that's the complete opposite. Because the Bible says that it's not about self-assertion, it's actually about self-denial. Which sounds quite negative, I suppose, doesn't it? But what do we mean by that? What do we mean by self-denial? It's a willingness to put others before ourselves. It's the complete opposite to what our modern culture tells us. Put others before ourselves. And let's just look at this Romans passage again, just very briefly. Just listen to some of these things that Paul talks about that we should aspire to as Christians. And just hear the difference. Honor others more than yourself. when our culture tells us, as we've just said, that we need to put ourselves first. Don't mistreat others who mistreat you, when again the modern culture teaches, don't let anybody get in your way. Don't let anybody stand in your way. If someone gets you, get them back. Be patient in times of trouble. Again, when today's world, what we really want are quick fixes, right? Quick solutions to things. That's our modern world, isn't it? So it seems like a very different story that Paul is offering here in Romans 12. In fact, the whole Bible offers this different story, this different narrative. Instead of putting ourselves first, we are to put others before ourselves, and even to the point where we're willing to give up our own desires, our own dreams, our own rights for the benefit of others, for the benefit of making Jesus known to others. That's what we're called to do. You know, in Matthew 25, Jesus tells us this parable, this story of what it might look like when he comes back at the end to put things right once and for all. And he says, to those who fed the hungry, to those who invited in strangers, clothed the poor, looked after the sick, visited people in prison, to those who put others before themselves, what does he say? He says, you are blessed by my Father. Come and take your inheritance, the kingdom that was prepared for you before the creation of the world. These are the very things that Jesus values in us. Self-denial, not self-assertion. And number two, the second thing that Becky said was that an identity, and I really like this, an identity that is achieved and not received can be crushing. It can be crushing. Our modern culture says that we have to go out and achieve our own identity, our own sense of worth. We must earn the honor of others by going out there and being who our culture tells us we should be. Have you ever experienced that? Children? Teenagers? Adults? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever felt the crushing pressure of having to do really well on a test at school because you're really concerned about what others might think of you if you don't do well? Have you ever felt that way? A few nods. Have you ever felt the crushing pressure of comparing yourself to someone that you know? Someone who is smarter than you, or funnier than you, or better looking than you, or has a better job than you, and just feeling like you don't match up? Just feeling like you don't quite make the mark? Ever felt that crushing pressure? Have you ever felt the crushing pressure of having to work more hours in the office, even though you're at full capacity because your boss is a workaholic, and he expects you to be a workaholic too? Ever felt that? And just as a side here, I'm not speaking from personal experience. We're treated very well here. But these are the kind of expectations that can be crushing. It can be exhausting trying to be who our culture tells us that we have to be, doesn't it? It's exhausting. What does the Bible have to say about this? Well, the Bible says something, again, completely opposite. It says that our identity cannot be achieved. It is given freely to us. We receive it freely. It cannot be achieved. Let's look at the second passage as a way of rounding off. The second passage from John, where we've got this picture of Jesus talking about him as the good shepherd and us as the sheep. And in fact, actually, one of the Bible's main illustrations for us as people is actually sheep. Have you ever noticed that? We're referred to as sheep quite a lot in the Bible. Now, I don't know if you know much about sheep. I know there's a few farmers here today who might know a lot more about sheep than me. But I've discovered that it seems that sheep are actually one of the least self-sufficient animals that there are. Did you know that? They often can't look after themselves very well. They can't get their own food. I've been told that sometimes they don't even know the right food when it's in front of them. And they can't find their way home. And here we are being compared to sheep. I forgot my sheep picture. Now, of course, Sean the sheep's not like this. He's, of course, an extraordinary sheep. But you get the idea. And it's interesting because, you know what? When our modern culture looks at this image, looks at this idea, it looks at it in absolute horror, doesn't it? It recoils from it in horror. Why? Because how dare someone tell me that I can't look after myself? How dare someone tell me that Someone else needs to look after us and guide us. How dare someone tell me that someone else names me, that I don't name myself, that I don't tell myself who I am? Our modern culture recoils from this image. It thinks it's offensive, and it thinks it's oppressive, under the thumb. What do Jesus' words really tell us? And we're coming into land here, people. We're doing well. Well, it tells us that our identity cannot be achieved. It can only be freely received. We don't have to strive, and we don't have to stress. We don't have to be exhausted by trying to achieve our own identity. Jesus tells us who we are. He gives us our sense of worth, and it's not one we earn. It's freely given to us. Consider this. Did you know that Middle Eastern shepherds do in fact, it's true, they do in fact name their sheep. And it's true that their sheep actually respond to their names when they call them. Did you know that? And it's also true, he says losing his place. It's also true that they don't like more Western farmers, they drive the sheep from the back. They lead their sheep from the front. Did you know that? They lead their sheep from the front. What does this say to us? Well, I think it says to us that we don't have to be forcefully driven from behind by what our culture says we must be, of who our culture says we must be. We don't have to constantly strive and stress about our sense of worth, constantly comparing ourselves to others. No. We have a good shepherd who gently and lovingly leads us from the front, calling us by name, calling you and calling me by name. Now, to me, that's not oppressive. For me, that's liberating. That's freeing, isn't it? That's freedom. Just like these sheep, there's nothing we can do to achieve our identity. Instead, we freely receive it from the Good Shepherd himself, from Jesus who names us. He names you. He provides for your needs. He guides you. He loves and cares for you despite what you can or cannot give him back. And he gives you honor by calling you his own. Verse 10 of John, we didn't read this, but it says this, I came so that everyone would have life and life in its fullest. Not only does Jesus freely give us our identity and self-worth, he freely gives us a life in all its fullness. You see, when we choose to be named by Jesus and not named by our culture, when we choose to place our identity in him, when we choose to live out of this narrative, this story of self-denial and not self-assertion, putting ourselves, not ourselves first, but ourselves second, we choose to live a life that is full. The kind of life that Jesus came to give us. Because you know what? You have to be a slave to something. This is what the modern culture doesn't tell us. You have to be a slave to something. Whether it's your job, your status, money, whatever it might be, you have to be a slave to something. Only by being a slave to God is there true freedom. That's what the Bible tells us. Last point. You know, I think it's really easy for us to be, to say we're Christians, to say we believe in Jesus, and to know it in our heads, but to still live out of the identity that our culture tells us as to who we should be. Why? Because our culture does it so subtly, we don't even know it's happening. We're saturated with it every day. And this is exactly what, funny enough, is happening to the Pharisees that Jesus is talking to in this story. Because at the end of chapter 9, the previous chapter, Jesus is challenging them about spiritual blindness. You can't see who I am. You can't see who you are in me. Because they were blinded by their culture. A culture of laws and regulations and status and power. They couldn't see Jesus for who he was. And they couldn't see themselves for who they were in him. So if we struggle with a sense of worth, if we struggle with a sense of who we are and what gives us value, can I boldly suggest that it may be because we may know it in our heads, but it hasn't sunk deep down into our very being as to who Jesus calls you as to how Jesus names you, the identity that he gives you by being his child. How do we get it deep down into us that we live out of it every single day of our lives? Well, I think it's by soaking ourselves in it through worship, through prayer, through meditating on scripture, and all those things that we do to let that truth soak into us. And that's what we're going to do right now. Because as a response to this, I'm going to invite you to do something. We're going to share the peace in a few moments' time. And as we're sharing the peace, I'd like you to turn to the piece of paper that hopefully you were given on the way in. And on this piece of paper are a list of various verses from the Bible. Now, they have been, of course, taken out of context, but I think they speak some truth about who we are in God's eyes. And I want everybody, children, teenagers, young people, older people, everybody, please grab one of these right now. If you haven't got one, there's some spares on the table just out the back of the two doors at the back there. And I want you to glance over this right now, and I want you to perhaps just think of one verse that you may want to share or speak over somebody else here today. Parents, could you please help your kids choose one and know which one they want to say? And as you share peace, just decide on one person that you're going to share one verse by just simply speaking over them. And let that truth soak into you as you receive that this morning. And then we're going to continue to receive that as Warren and Sarah lead us further in another worship song. Okay? So we're going to share the peace, and please feel free to share one of these with someone as you walk around.